Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This episode, we're going to be revisiting a topic. In episode 9, we talked about sixth sense or psychic abilities. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a different take on that. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the category of psychics, mediums, and channelers, and all those sorts. So, Donald, why don't you go ahead and roll us in to your thoughts on psychics, mediums, and channelers?
I have to tell you, when we were coming up with the topic, one of the things I said when you mentioned channeling is, I'm very critical. And so I was like, do we really want to record an episode where I'm very critical, and can I be not so critical about it? And I was thinking about it after a few days, and I was like, yeah, I think I can, because for me, the whole channeling, the whole mediums, and the whole psychics thing, they all kind of fall in the same kind of area for me, where I look at anyone that becomes popular or does that kind of thing as very critical. But at the same time, I totally believe that it happens. I totally believe that people have abilities to do that kind of thing, mainly because I've done that kind of those things myself. It's almost like if anyone's gotten to the point where they're making money off of it, there's kind of a critique there where it's like, are they doing it just for the money, or are they actually have some kind of skill or gift or ability that they're using? Because for me, it is so easy to run a script along those lines in those areas and basically take people for their money with making them think they're getting something that they're not. So that's kind of my take, my initial take on it. But I still have to say, I do believe that there are people that can channel, and I do believe that there are people that are able to talk, that are mediums, that are able to talk to people on the other side. And I believe that psychic abilities and divinations and stuff of that nature happens mainly because from personal experience and working with others.
So here's a question for you. How do you differentiate what you find believable and what you find not believable? I mean, I would venture to say, if I know you, you have a stronger belief in psychics than you do in channelers.
Oh, really?
As a whole subsection. Well, because you and I have had conversations, and it seems like when we talk about channeling, you've been kind of, well, yeah, I don't really know how I feel about channeling. The whole thing kind of feels a little, you know, you're not sure about it. But I'd never hear you necessarily say that about those in the psychic community. I mean, am I mistaken on that, though?
I really don't talk about channeling very much because I see where you're coming up with that. Because I really have the whole idea of people that you say, oh, this person channels, oh, this person channels, oh, this person channels. My experience up to this point has basically been, yeah, I believe that person is channeling. That person I believe is channeling. That person, I don't know.
Now that goes into my question. When you say this, I believe this person is, and this other person, I don't know. What seems to separate one from the other for you?
I think it has to do with some of the information that I've learned, like stage magicians would do, where this is more in the mediumship realm, but there's similarities with some channelers where you actually can watch them channeling. Well, for me, I kind of get this feeling of, I don't think they're really channeling anything. I think this is all, you know, premeditated, like a talk, but they're just closing their eyes and saying, we're so-and-so from, you know, a higher level of whatever, and we have some messages that we think you'll really like. And then, of course, there's others where I've seen stuff written down, and I'm just like, I just get really, really negative feeling. So whenever I see or hear a channel, I personally have to go fully with my intuition at that time of whether I believe they're actually channeling or not.
Well, it's interesting. We're looking at each of these groups of, I don't know what you want to call them, each of these types of practices, mm-hmm. which is, whether it be psychics, mediums, or channelers, all of them are accessing information or energy from what seems to be a extrasensory realm. Psychics are accessing information clairvoyantly or whatever Claire you want to talk about. Mediums are accessing people who have crossed over the other side, and channelers are accessing entities or angels or whatever have you. Have you seen more of one than the other that you find more credible, or does one or the other resonate with you more?
Well, you and I, we've both done divination extensively over the years. So for me personally, I have to give a little bit of credibility to that. But at the same time, it depends on where you go and who you talk to. I think it was episode 9 that you had mentioned earlier, where I had related a story where I went to a psychic and it felt just very awkward immediately. And I was just like, this is just really kind of odd. And almost they laid out the cards, and after 5 minutes, they started talking about how, yeah, for another $600, we can have my congregation pray for this family member and that family member and for another. And it was just like, you know, instantly realized this is a scam right here. I was still really young in understanding the messages and how my intuition spoke to me. In a way, the psychics kind of, I'm very cautious with them. With mediums, yeah, I'm pretty cautious with them too. With channelers, that takes a lot more time to fill them out, and I don't know why, I just do. But
I think I might have an idea why.
Okay.
The channeled information is tends to be pretty broad and esoteric, and not always esoteric, but it tends to be pretty broad, and it tends to have a lot of stuff that addresses values, that addresses the nature of reality, and that addresses just kind of how we vibrate or resonate. Where psychics and mediums tend to have more substantiable information. Yeah. Where the psychics would say, well, you have a sister. She lives somewhere in the South, and I see a child and a husband. And you'd be like, well, that's pretty good. Did you Google me? Did you look me up on Facebook? And if I don't know, if they've been living in a yurt out in the middle of, you know, Nairobi, you could say, yeah, probably not. If they're a Nigerian prince, maybe so. But if you have this, and if you have a medium that says, well, let's see, your grandmother and I'm seeing, and they tell you this stuff that you're like, well, I don't really understand any way they could have known that. That's substantiatable. Am I making that word up? Substantiatable?
I don't know, but I'm gonna go with it.
Okay, so we'll play with that word. But with channelers, the only thing you have to go on is if the material resonates with you or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think the difference is.
So with you, what's your overall feeling of channelers, mediums, and psychics?
Well, I think it's all about, again, and I really strongly say it's whether something resonates with oneself or not. And that's my own gauge, mm-hmm. especially with the channelers. We'll start there. Channeling, as I'd mentioned to you, my first venture, and I think I mentioned this in the kind of Get to Know Me episode, I think, is the first venture that really brought me into psychic exploration and intuitive and spiritual exploration was the Seth material. And that's all channeled material back from the mid to the late 70s that stuff was written, I guess you'd say, but it was channeled. And it's still pretty popular. And a great amount of that material really resonated with me. There's a lot of people who Edgar Cayce's material really resonates with them. It's like I said, when I read it, it wasn't like I discovered anything. It was like it was a reminder more than anything of what I was already aware of. The biggest things that the Seth material really, really hammers on is about the point of power being in the present. The present is really where we're always residing, multiple timelines, and really kind of how those are manipulated. You can kind of manage and manipulate those things. That was validating for me in that particular material. And I do find the Abraham material it doesn't have the same idea, but it's very similar in its really kind of your own point of power thing. And, you know, maybe they made up Seth, and maybe they made up Abraham, and maybe these are just conjured up entities. But to me, the real value is what is being said. I mean, who cares? Who's ever going to be able to prove that there was a, that there is a Seth entity or a Abraham entity? I mean, if an entity is, if you make up Abraham and all of a sudden Abraham becomes alive just by having made up Abraham, then what's the difference there? And if the material is really rich and improves people's lives and points them to pathways of enrichment and fulfillment and spiritual growth, then it's, to me, it's all in the dressing.
That sounds like religion, though.
Well, I think the same thing of religion to some degree. I think it's just how much of your power are you giving away? That's the difference between religion and channeling.
Well, I was just saying there because you were talking about how, whether it's made up or not, if it brings value to people's spiritual lives and gives them, you know, something positive, then, you know, who cares if it's made up or not, or if the entity itself is, that's being channeled, is made up or not. I'm like, that sounds a lot like religion, and I'd have to disagree with you there. I was like, in the whole religious aspect, it's just like there are so many wars and people that have been killed, and I think for a large part, organized religion and even some religious beliefs have not helped humanity in a positive way as much as it had meant to or should have. And so I kind of saw that as like, well, channeling, you know, if it helps you out, then cool. I'm like, maybe I see where you're coming from and I agree with you to a large degree, but maybe not. You know, maybe in 1,000 years or so, the Seth material and the Abraham Hicks material and even the Kryon material, maybe that stuff will be like more of a sprout religious belief systems and all this other stuff. And I don't think that would be very popular.
Well, here's the thing about that is that religion is often not served as a tool, and religion often also is where we see people give away their personal power all the time. You say that my life, I'm putting my hands in Jesus or whatever, and that's all well and good, but if you say, you know, I'm just going to throw up my hands in the air and I'm going to be guided and I'm not going to take any personal responsibility for the fact that my own choices, every single one of my choices in every single moment of my life is what determines the outcome of my future, that's giving away your personal power to religion. And in fact, the Abraham material and the Seth material and even to some degree the Kryon material, just to cite those examples, really are all about, look, you are the master of your own life and your own destiny. Where the religion says, I, the higher power, whatever that higher power is, I am the master of your life and your destiny.
So is that a way to basically discern if somebody may be pulling a scam, or if somebody's being honest, is if they're talking about allowing you to maintain your personal power and move forward with that, or take your personal power and give it away to somebody, give your personal power away to them? Is that what you're saying? Kind of like that's like a huge, you know, red light warning sign if they are trying to take away your personal power when they talk about stuff?
I think it's pretty black and white to the degree of, if you say to somebody, okay, what should I do? If they say, here, this is what you do, then your personal power is probably in jeopardy of being taken or you giving it away. If you say, what should I do? And the answer is, well, you know the answer to that. And you say, no, I don't. What should I do? And they say, well, you know what? If you don't know what to do, it's because you're not taking the time to look within. Take the time to look within and find the answer to that question. And then you realize that then it's more about your own personal power and how much control you have over your destiny.
So if we're talking about channeling and what I've heard and experienced from channeling and what you're saying right here, it's almost like the messages that channels give is almost like a mental framework for getting around to finding your personal power and reclaiming it. Would that be correct?
Well, I don't want to say that as a generic statement or generalized statement, because I don't give validity to A, all channels, just because it's channeled material, or two, every bit of material that comes from any specific channel. I mean, like, let's take the Seth material. There's stuff in it that I'm like, well, that doesn't really work for me. I take the nuggets out that really resonate with me of any channel material. There's some channelers I'm like, yeah, no, this doesn't work for me at all. None of the stuff you're saying works for me. And it just, there's one that doesn't work for me. And this may work great for a lot of people, really, like the Mike Quincy channeling.
Not familiar with that one.
Salusa.
No.
You're familiar with that? S-A-L-U-S-A?
No.
That is, that material doesn't resonate with me. It just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I disagree or agree with the material. It just doesn't resonate with me. So, I don't even look to it for anything.
Well, yeah, I mentioned that because it seemed like there a lot of the channeled material that people really latch onto, such as the Abraham Hicks and the Seth material and Cryon, it doesn't really say, like you were saying, it doesn't say you shall go upon the earth and be fruitful and get a job at a insurance company so that you can make a lot of money. It's not that specific. It's more broad. It's like, make sure that you find the happiness in your life and go after it with all your passion. Seeing that and the way that it's presented through different channels in that respect, it almost sounded seemed like there a lot of the material is slowly breaking down preconceived ideas and notions and then giving you another option. In other words, saying, we have two doors. Going in this door, this will take you down the path that you're already on and you're continuing on. There won't be a whole lot of surprises there. It's basically life 101 type stuff. If you want to go over here, there's this path over here that will probably change your life in ways that even we can't foresee, but it might be more interesting. Kind of like the whole, in the Matrix, the red pill or the blue pill. Do you take the blue pill and wake up the next morning and, you know, believe whatever you want to believe? Or do you take the red pill and see how far down the rabbit hole goes? And it seems like a lot of channels like Abraham, Cryon, and Seth, they're more like saying, here's the red pill. Here's the rabbit hole. If you choose to go down the rabbit hole, we can help you out a little bit here. But at the same time, realize that it's all your choice. It's all your, it's all of your making. It's, you're responsible for everything that happens.
Well, and you know, what's interesting about you saying that is the fact that that actually is the same case for if you go to get a reading from a psychic.
Ah,
it's the same idea there. It's when, like when you went to the psychic and the psychic said, well, we're going to have, if you give us $500 or whatever it was.
600.
600. Ooh, whoa, really, man.
Yeah.
Even 500, it seems a little odd. Why didn't they say 672? 672 and 31 cents. If you give us $672.31, we'll pray for you and do all this other business. And their con is, well, you've got this attachment or you've got this bad energy or this juju that's been put on you and all this other stuff, or you've got Real Housewives of it. Punxsutawney following you around. Now their whole thing is basically, again, you're powerless. They're feeding on you feeling powerless. But a good psychic, a good tarot reader, a good astrologer, any of those people are going to say, all right, here are the options. These are the influences, but yet you still have free will in this influence.
Okay, I got to ask you this question since we're on psychics, and I'm going to go with specifically tarot readers.
Okay.
Because I have gone to a few tarot readers over the years where they were able to really connect with me, and we're talking about the whole discernment of is it a scam or is it really are they really being honest with their talents and gifts? And I have found where there are some tarot readers that can connect with me well, and my feeling is they are basically using their gifts honorably and ethically and all this other stuff. It seems to me, for the majority of the ones that I go to, it seems like they can connect to some degree, but they have a real difficulty connecting on anything more than the surface.
What is connecting to you? What do you... What differentiates somebody connecting well versus not?
Well, it goes back to your example earlier where
or them telling you you had five kids or all that other whatever your history is.
Yeah,
validation.
It's kind of like if you go to a psychic and you say, just give me a general reading, and they say, well, I do have a sister that lives in the South with two kids and a husband. So if they say you have an older sister that lives in the Northwest, in the Pacific Northwest, and she's just met a new guy and everything, I'm like, that's exactly my friend who I just spent lunch with before I came here to talk. So you're picking up on a residual energy that I have of my friend, but it's not me. And so if you have a talent of being able to read somebody, shouldn't you be able to peel off what is the person in front of them as opposed to what's the energy around them?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. The reason I say that is because what I value, either when I'm giving readings or receiving readings, what I value is what is of value in that reading. And everybody has a different degree of this. There are people who say, yeah, they basically said that if I could do this, that I would have this. And I wanted to see if they could tell me what kind of car I drive and, what my mother's middle name was. And there are people who want that. They need that. To me, I'm like, well, you're just looking for a stage show is what you're doing. You're just looking for the guy who closes his eyes and puts the card against his head kind of thing. And that's all great. If you want entertainment, that's all well and good. And then let them be entertainers. But to me, the more valuable application of the psychics and the mediums and the channelers is if they give you something that makes you feel more empowered than you were before you had the reading.
So what could you get in a psychic reading that, just kind of like an example of something that would be empowering as opposed to something that's neutral or disempowering?
Okay. If I had a block, if I went to a reader and let's say, okay, I'm having trouble maintaining a relationship. Every time I go out with someone, it just fails.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically can say, all right, well, this is what's going on with you. And a lot of times, I think in a lot of readings you'll get, they'll tell you something you already know.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be able to tell you a way of looking at something that you weren't able to look at. They'll be able to tell you a prevailing energy, kind of a little way that you can take that gives you strength and empowerment. They might be able to say, well, you know what? This is what's going on with you. And you whenever you're in this situation, you come across this. And you react this way. And they'll be like, well, yeah, I do. And they say, well, this is what's going on that's creating that for you. And if you continue, what's influencing that is X. Well, if you choose Y, it's going to help you to break through that influence. And I think a good psychic will be able to see the why that you can't see.
Mm-hmm. Like a good therapist.
Like a good therapist, yeah.
So a lot of psychics are do a lot of therapy in some, but under the guise of entertainment for legal reasons, right?
Well, some of them.
I'm really giving you a hard time there, and I'm doing
okay
it on purpose.
That. You know that. Please, know. Just beat the crap out of me. put a bunch of oranges in a sock and go to town.
Let's not get violent now.
Well, I'm just saying, hey, do what you got to do.
So, but a lot of these questions and stuff are kind of things that I've heard from other people and I've worked through on myself, and it's just like, it's just like that. If a psychic is able to bring to light something that you hadn't realized before, in other words, allow you to see things that you're doing that you hadn't realized before, it's like, well, that's what therapy does. And one of my personal jokes on that whole thing is, yeah, but psychics are normally cheaper and they can normally get stuff done a lot quicker depending on how good the psychic is. Not to say therapy is there's not a lot of value in therapy, because there is a lot of value in therapy. Psychics basically are saying, oh, I'm getting this, I'm getting this, I'm getting this, and I just met you. Whereas therapists, they take a lot of time to see the whole picture as much as they can, and then move you along in as gentle of a pace as they can without causing a mental issue or an emotional issue or anything like that. And so I find that very interesting, the difference between the ways different therapists go around it, even if you want to call a psychic a therapist or a therapist a psychic, because there are a lot of people in the mental and emotional health services that are quite intuitive and quite empathic and quite psychic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can't say, yes, I'm a family counselor and I'm a psychic family counselor. Well, that kind of, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot a couple times there. Anyway, I'm starting to babble quite a bit. So I'm going to go back. And one of the things we haven't talked about recently is mediums. Okay. So I want to bring this whole thing back to mediums at the moment. I mentioned earlier that my personal view on mediums is really kind of, I have to be very careful with mediums, because there are it's so easy to do cold readings on an audience or on a person. And for listeners that don't know, that's basically pulling out information based on what you see or what you can what you're guessing at is going on. Where if you, for instance, if you're reading an old woman that is obviously a senior citizen, you could say, oh, I'm picking up, I think your mother's coming through. What's her name? Did her name start with an M or a J or a K? And like, well, there's three possibilities right there that, you know, and that could be that most, you might think most female names would start with, that's Karen, Melissa, and what I say?
Jay.
Oh, and Jay. Oh, we could use Jackie. And so there's all these, it's so easy to do a cold reading. And if you're really good at hiding what you're doing or not making it so obvious that that's what you're doing, it's very easy to fool people, to scam people. At the same time, having said that, I believe that there are mediums out there that are really good, really ethical, and are able to pick up on people very quickly. Mm-hmm. So that's my personal view. What about you?
I think that I do believe, I've met mediums and I've seen mediums, and they have remarkable abilities. It's just a fact, Sean that we had on the show. Sean, mm-hmm. With Sean and Debbie with the Twin Flames Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Sean is a pretty gifted medium. He's pretty gifted. And I've actually seen him at work, and I've seen his process. And he comes up with information, and I'm going, how are you going to know that? but he does. And that's the thing about it. And it's remarkable, the way the information he comes up with. And the thing is that the mediums that I think are the most profoundly gifted ones, you can tell because there is definitely a compassion that is unmistakable from these people. It's unmistakable. It's just their heart just goes out. They feel this compulsion to do this, and they connect with the people, and they really, really feel and want to help them to heal through this grieving process and through their losses. And that's remarkable to me. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Cold readings, yes, they can be fake. You know, you can use all those techniques to really kind of get information, and especially when people are vulnerable, as are grieving people. Yes, that can happen, but there is something. It's unmistakable when you are. Jackie actually went and saw John Edward, and she said that you could feel when the energy changed in the room. There was things that he would say that was beyond your basic cold reading skill. That it was like, wait a minute, it's just it's amazing. And then again, I of course believe that who we are continues once we shed the body. It's like taking off clothes. You know, do you fail to exist just because you took off your clothes? It's the same idea. You take off your skin and organs, and
if you're the invisible man, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is. They are kind of the invisible man, but just with a lot more stuff going on. So that's my take on it. I mean, I don't have very well mediumistic abilities, but I do pick up stuff all the time mm-hmm. from people on the other side. I mean, people from on the other side, I don't get. a lot of people, mediums, have you seen, what's her name? No, we've talked about Lisa Caputo and you have not seen her.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Is that right?
Yes, I have not seen her. Or well, I don't remember seeing her.
She's remarkable and she gets pictures and sounds and words and stuff like that. And I don't get that, but I get weird little connection things. I can't even explain them, but they're just bizarre. They're just bizarre, you know, like, I would, for some reason, I'd be talking to somebody somebody passed and then I would get milk duds in my head. This happened to me. I was talking to this woman about this, her stepson that passed, and all of a sudden I started thinking of milk duds, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then the next room I go into, there's this giant box of milk duds sitting on the table. And these kind of things happen to me a lot. You know, I can't really use that to help people very well. But then again, I'm also finding that I have what's called, for my own psychic nature, mm-hmm. and I want to talk about that just a little bit too. My own psychic nature, I have what I call it's a tug is what I call it. Some people like, my guides told me to do this. My guides told me to do that. It may be my guides. I don't know. I don't feel like all of a sudden, hey, read this note here. It's from your guides. I don't get that kind of thing. It's more all of a sudden I just like, I'm going to go here and I'll go there. And usually all I'm doing is having a conversation with someone, but it was a conversation they needed to have. That happens a lot with people who like all of a sudden I'll end up somewhere for some reason. I just felt, oh, okay, I'm going to go here now. And I'll encounter someone who just lost someone and has to talk about it. And to me, that's not a big thing like, oh, you know, like John Edwards doing, but there's amazing healing for people who have lost loved ones. One of the biggest things they'll tell you is that the need to talk about the person they lost is huge. And most people, or a great many people, will tiptoe around them. I can't talk about them. They're sensitive. They lost the person. You know, I don't want them to be upset. But they really, really want to talk about that. And for some reason, I constantly find myself in places where I've encountered someone who just lost somebody and it comes up in conversation from some weird way, and all of a sudden they're talking about it, and then they leave, and they're like, thanks for talking to me about that. I appreciate it. And I think that's all I was there to do, but it was huge.
Yeah.
That's kind of my weird little mediumistic tendency. Yeah.
I can count on maybe one hand the mediumistic experiences that I've had and throughout my whole life. That is just one of those things that doesn't work. But it was interesting, the story that you were talking about where you just end up in certain places. Because that reminded me of something that me and my friend did years and years and years ago, where we were bored. We didn't want to do the same old thing that we'd been doing. You know, we were stagnating. And all of a sudden, I was just like, we need to go drive. And he said, where are we going to drive to? Like, I don't know. Let's just go and see where we end up. Well, we got to a light, and it's like, do we go north or do we go south? I'm like, let's go north. Okay, and it was kind of like what you're talking about, where it's just following the tugs, as it were. And for in this respect, it's very much a tug. For other things, for me, it's a little different. And basically, we ended up in I can't remember what floor it was, but we ended up in the hospital, and I ended up sitting by this really old man whose wife had just been rushed to the emergency room, and I sat and talked with him for about 5, maybe 10 minutes, and then I got the tug that we're done. And so I politely said we're done. I politely said my goodbyes, and we left.
Yeah, he said we're done here.
It's like, thank you for talking. I'm done now. Moving on. No, but and then we left. And I'm just like, well, that was very odd. And at that time, I didn't understand it, but I think, looking back on it over the years, maybe that person right there needed somebody to talk to at least at that time, at least for a moment. And he wasn't the only person in that emergency room. We're talking about maybe 10 to 15 other people that I could have easily sat by, but he was just the one that I was like, I need to talk to that guy right there right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. So I don't have a lot of mediumistic experiences, or I'm not going to say skill or ability, because when the other side wants to talk to me, they are able to talk to me. And it's a very specific feeling for me when it's from the other side. I can't say I don't have any mediumistic abilities. It's just one of those areas that I have very little focus and very little interest in pursuing more than I do at the moment.
The dead don't do much for you.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of has that thing. I mean, and some people they're endowed with it. It's just they're born with it. But yet a lot of the mediums that we see, like the John Edwards and the Lisa Williams and the Lisa Caputos, they have actually studied it and developed that ability. It's, I mean, they came out of the gate and they knew they had those abilities and stuff like that, but they really worked at getting to where they are on it. I mean, do you think that things like psychics and mediums and channeling and all that other stuff, do you think that it is innate and that you're born with it? We talked a little bit about this in the ninth episode. Yeah, in episode 9. But do you think that you can learn any of those things?
Oh, so you're talking about if you have no ability whatsoever, being able to learn it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one. And I'll tell you why it's a tough question for me to answer. I believe that almost anything is possible throughout the lifetime of a person. I believe we're all psychic to some degree, but at the same time, it's like me with mediumship. Am I born with the ability to be a medium? Yes. Can I learn it and fine-tune it and everything? Yes. But if I had absolutely no mediumship abilities whatsoever, could I learn it? I don't think so. But it's kind of like even if you have just the slightest bit of a spark for one type of psychic ability, such as divination, mediumship, or whatever, then you can grow that spark really, really well. I mean, forest fires that take out acres and acres of land and animals and trees and everything usually start from just a little itty-bitty spark. So I think if you don't have that spark, then no, it's not possible. But if you have even just that small piece right there, then yeah, sure, you can work with it.
What about the whole idea of with psychics and mediums and channelers? What is going on? What do you think is going on?
They're having a party and we're all invited.
I'm talking about the what?
I don't know.
What? They're having a party?
I don't know.
No. I don't mean like what's going on in here, up in here. I mean more the, I don't know where that came from. I channeled it apparently. But...
it's a party up in here, up in here.
I think I'm more wondering, what do you think is happening for those people that are legitimate psychics and mediums and channelers? What do you think is transpiring during that process?
You may have to give me a little bit of an idea because do you mean
what is
happening?
Let's use an example. Why do some people have the ability to communicate with the other side and others don't? In other words, what makes that possible for some people and not for others? What do you think is going on there?
Why are some people more athletic than others? It's just the way they're made.
You think so?
I think there are people
that's your answer and you're sticking to it, huh?
Yeah. The thing is, when you ask why are some people more interested in this or seem
No. I'm asking what has happened. Like, for example, you could say that for athletes, some people have a skeletal structure and developed tone. They have the myelin. Bruce Lee had the neural impulses or whatever. What do you think is happening in the case of like a tarot reading? You go to get a tarot reading and somebody's getting all this information from a bunch of cards. What's happening in the background there? I mean, are they just interpreting symbols willy-nilly?
I see what you're saying. You're saying where are they getting the information? What is
the mechanics behind it? Yeah, what do you think the mechanics are?
How is a medium actually communicating with the other side? How is a channel channeling, and how is a psychic reading you psychically?
Yeah.
I think it would be a lot easier for me to answer the question of how is a psychic reading you psychically, because that's the area I've had the most personal experience with myself, being read and reading others. And to me, from that perspective, being a psychic is, by its definition, having a sense that's outside the five senses. In other words, a sense or a knowledge from somewhere that is beyond the sight, hearing, taste, feel, or touch and smell. And for me personally, I look at the whole subtle energy bodies like the chakras, the auras, the emotional stuff, the cells in the body. Every cell in the body holds information of your whole past and whatnot. And so I think that in a psychic reading, most intuitives and most psychics are picking up on the information that is in those areas, that is in the auras and the chakras, and then they're able to translate it from what they're getting in their head to some comprehensible way of with our language. With mediums, I really don't know, because like I said, that is not my strongest area. With channeling, I did channeling for a little while. I did channeling for about 4, maybe 6 months. And I wasn't channeling Chiron or Abraham or anything like that. I was channeling other people's past lives and spirit guides and stuff like that, which was really interesting. I had to stop. Anyway, basically.
Why? I'm curious.
My guides.
Spiritual restraining order.
my guides and my higher self and everyone was just saying, okay, you need to not do this anymore. Because I was not releasing the energy as well as possible. So I was getting kind of like a shadow image of whoever I was channeling. And I was not able to clear that very well. So that was starting to affect me mentally and emotionally and physically. And so it's kind of like you channel through, let's say, 10 people in a month. You have a residual shadow self or shadow image of that, of those people in your energy because they were there in your energy, and you're not really good at clearing that out. You know, you have a thought here that's from this person that you channeled, or this entity that you channeled. You have a thought over here from this higher self that you channeled. You have a thought over here, and it makes you start having like multiple personality disorder. Okay. And so by quitting, it was able to dissipate by itself.
Okay.
And like I said, this all happened over probably 4 months to a year where I realized, well, why can't I channel anymore? Why am I not supposed to? And it's like, well, probably this took a long time for me to realize. You know, it might sound like it all happened in a very short period of time. But with the channeling, for me personally, from what I've experienced, it's like connecting your computer to the World Wide Web, where you're the computer and you're connecting to the Akashic records. You're connecting to the energy of all that is out there. And then what you're saying or what is being said through you is what is most important to be said to those people at that time in that area. And I mean, in a not so extreme example as that, you know, you and I have talked where when we record these episodes, there is a little bit of channeling going on. Mm-hmm. We could go back and we could do a few episodes where it's just like, yeah, we get to the end of the episode and what did we talk about? Our topic was this. Well, yeah, we knew that before the episode, but what did we actually say? Like, I don't really remember. We'll have to go and replay it back to figure out what we said. And I think it's those episodes that we have where, you know, we're actually just channeling information. The words are just coming out. The thoughts are just going in a flow where we're just allowing it to happen and going along with it. So that's kind of my take of the mechanics of how all that stuff happens with mediums, psychics, and channels. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess I have a few. With the mediums, the funny thing is that when people talk about crossing over or the other side, it really isn't another side. It's the same side we're in. It's just looking like through a one-way mirror, basically. Ah. In other words, we a one-way mirror does imply two sides. So let me just say that it's like they're. We just don't see them, but they see us kind of thing. But I think they see more of us as in an energetic form rather than we're used to seeing things in three-dimensional physical form. I think they perceive us on our energetic level, which probably is even more accurate way of seeing us than the way we see things, because we tend to extract all that energetic stuff from it. And so I think that when mediums communicate with people that have crossed over or passed or whatever you want to say, they have the ability to see the energy of that. And a lot of mediums really see things like auras and stuff like that because they have that perception of energy. And they what goes on in their mind is just kind of outside. They pick up things that are just not just the 3D thing and the physical. As far as channelers, there is some people believe that channeling is in some cases from one's higher self. A lot of people say that Neil Donald Walsh, who does the Conversations with God stuff, they say that a lot of people say, well, that's not him talking to God. That's him talking to his higher self. I don't know if that's the case or not. I think maybe, but I do think it's more, I think people tap into, like with Kryon and with Seth and with Abraham, those specifically, I do believe that they're tapping into kind of I don't know, there's kind of a dynamic and an inner working of how things go. And I think they tap into that and they kind of get a direct message where I think we pick up the bleed through. I tend to be in that space a lot of the time where I'm picking up on that kind of nether area stuff. It's like my antennas are on a lot. And it's just kind of it's like a default way for me to being. Like, some people are like, well, you know, I don't leave myself open, da 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 da. Well, I don't leave myself open in some regards, but in that regard, I tend to be open a lot. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell myself to shut down because so that I can kind of recuperate. But it's kind of more my default way of being, is just picking up kind of this esoteric information. And I think that's why their messages and materials resonate with me, and I think that's how they get it. As far as the psychics go, I think some of them see timelines or alternate timelines or potential timelines. Like the ones, there are what I call a time and date psychics that say this is, expect this to happen this day and this time. And some people love those type the most, I think. They just love those because it's an ooh-ah factor. And I think they're seeing imprints in time. They're able to perceive outside linear time, so they can kind of pick up on that. And I think other psychics pick up on just, like you said, the energy that's within a person's space, what's kind of resonating and going on. And so, but I think it's just all perceiving outside of normal three dimensions and really being able to understand what you're seeing and how you're seeing it and to be able to put it into physical terms.
Gotcha. Interesting. So I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Have you ever done any channeling yourself?
Not where I channeled an entity per se. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any of that kind of channeling, but I've done a lot of just picking up information. And it's just there. It's what it is. I'm one of those there type psychics. I'm more clairsentient. I call myself an esotericist, where I basically will go, oh.
You're an esotericist.
That's what I say.
That almost sounds like I'm an esoterist. I'm like,
an eco-terrorist?
No,
there are eco-terrorists, by the way.
No, an esoterrorist. Where you're esoteric, but you're a terrorist in the esoteric realm.
Oh my.
I mean, that's just really kind of an interesting image right there.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, how does one become an esoteric saboteur?
I have no idea.
I just said,
you're reaching Jesus. You're reaching enlightenment too quickly.
What?
I'm going to come in and you go into a group of people. You're reaching enlightenment too quickly. I must come down here and cool you all down a little bit, kind of like a. In casinos and whatever, they have people that are table coolers. If a table's getting really hot and people are making a lot of money and the casino's losing a lot of money, there are people that can cool that table down just by them playing there. Where there was a whole movie with William Macy years back in the 90s, and it's basically kind of an example of an esoterrorist, where it's it's like, you're reaching enlightenment too quickly. We must stop you down. We must slow you. And
okay. I see what you're saying now.
But anyway, that was a long example for a little joke. Okay, my experience. I'm really babbling. I feel very babbling tonight.
That's all right. You know, you do what you got to do. That's what I say. Let it flow. Let it go is what I say. If you're prone to babble, you're on a podcast, so you have a lot more license than you do in a lot of other areas. Babbling in church, maybe not. You know, babbling during a movie, in the theater, podcast, you got a lot more room.
That's an interesting idea. If you're in certain types of churches, you can speak in tongues. And what's your take on that? Is that a form of channeling? Is that a form of psychic? Is that a form of mediumship? What category would that fall into?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Churches are amazing as far as creating altered states of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They're great at that. They really do, especially with singing, because the hymns and the singing and the recitals of creeds and things like that. And those things really do help to generate an altered state of consciousness. And I think when people start to speak in tongues and do all that other stuff, they are in a far altered state in consciousness in some regards. In other regards, I think that they are susceptible to the power of suggestion and kind of really want to go with it, and they just release the inhibitions and just go. I just think it seems like a weird kind of release of sorts. That's the best I'm giving it.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think there's probably some exceptions. I think there's people who really probably bring through some languages that we are unaware of, or, you know, form some kind of energetic imprints through sound, but other than that, I don't really think there's much to it. I think it's kind of part of the hype.
Yeah. So, David, what would be your kind of like your final thoughts on the whole idea of mediums, psychics, and channelers?
My thoughts on them is I think that the best thing to do, well, I guess it depends on what part of it we're talking about. I mean, do I think there's validity in it? Yes and no. I think there's a lot of charlatans out there. I think there's tons of them. I think you just listen to your inner voice and use your own discernment and don't give your power away. I don't know how many times we've said that, but I think it's hugely important for us to say it again. So, as far as that goes. But to me, the fascinating part is of the mediums and the psychics and the channelers. I really think that we're going to see this open up more and more and more. I'm seeing more of it on television. I mean, granted, we saw some of it in the 70s, you know, when they were kind of the, what was it, In Search Of shows and things like that. But I think this day and age, there's more of a mainstream acceptance to the point of people just saying, you know, this is real. And not only that, but I really think that the mediums and the psychics and the channelers are really the vanguards. They're in the vanguard. They're the ones who are paving the way for us to really kind of be able to open up. And I think that's really where we're going as far as our human escalation in consciousness goes. I think it's heading in this direction. And I think it's really kind of interesting and fun to see the discernment between the two things and really kind of watch how they kind of break apart. And I'm constantly feeling and playing in the whole psychic arena and psychic investigation, psychic realm, psychic research, all that kind of stuff. And the more I do it, the more I really learn about myself, just as who I am, just as a person, what my values are, what's important to me. And one time, you know, I actually can become more grounded even as I become more esoteric. It's really interesting how that's working. What about you?
I have to agree with a lot of what you had said. And the whole personal power thing, yeah, we do bring that up a lot. But I think that is an extremely important thing. So whenever we bring it up, it's a good thing. In other words, we can't bring it up too often.
Right, exactly. Agreed.
With the whole psychic channels and mediums, I feel the same way with that you said. I believe there's a lot of talented and gifted people out there that are able to do it in a very ethical and, you know, ethical way. But there are a lot of charlatans out there. There are a lot of people that are, hey, I can go really quickly and get a few bucks here for a few years by doing the same thing without really having a gift or ability or anything like that. Then you had mentioned something else where you said that you feel kind of like the it's becoming more accepted in the mainstream with psychics and whatnot. And I, you were talking about that, and I'm like, yes, definitely. Because when I really started getting into studying the paranormal, the psychic, the intuitive, all the metaphysical, all this stuff, that was like 15, 20 years ago. And people were kind of like, you're kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? And now it's almost like, oh, yeah, you know, people have intuition, people have empathy, people have all this ability, all these skills that some have developed, some haven't. Some just get flashes of insight, flashes of just knowledge right then and there that's extremely important at that time. It's just like, oh. And so developing that discernment, developing that feeling of, okay, am I being taken to the cleaners here by this person who says they're able to do this, or is this person, you know, really on the up and up, and they're doing what they're using their skills and abilities to the best of their ability for me? And I think we're getting more and more people that are the latter instead of the former, where they are, you know, honestly, passionately, and ethically working with people, offering their skills and abilities for, you know, to make an income so that they can eat and so they can pay for their bills and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like my final summation right there.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So anyway, I think that'll pretty much close out the episode. If this is your first time listening to David and I and the Take the Red Pill, we appreciate you taking time to listen to us. If you're a longtime listener, we appreciate you continuing to find our episodes interesting and whatnot. And we, David and I, both enjoy doing this. It's been, what, 2.5 years now?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
So, and it's still really fun.
And if, as this episode closes, if you're like, well, you know, I'm still hungry, I still want to hear more of what these guys are doing here, and you're new to the episodes, or if you just want to revisit it, if you're a longtime listener, I mean, even Donald and I do that with our episodes we like to listen to. You can actually just go to our website, and you can see all of our episodes are posted there. We have show notes and links to the things we've talked about. It's taketheredpillpodcast.com. Or ttrppodcast.com if you're a lazy typer like me. You can also find us on Facebook. We're on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ttrppodcast. You can listen to the episodes right there on Facebook. You can actually either comment on the episodes right there on Facebook, send us a message, or you can email us here with anything you have to say at feedback@taketheredpillpodcast.com, or you can just leave a comment on our website.
Awesome. Very cool. So for Take the Red Pill, my name is Donald Dalton, wishing you a most intuitive evening.
And I'm David Deere. Keep one eye critical and one eye open.